Good morning. Today's scripture reading is on page 819 in the Pew Bibles, if you want to follow there. And it's Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 37. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Lord," she replied, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Marilyn. We're back in Mark. Hallelujah. If you're glad for that, trust me, I am even more glad for that. Last August, our family brought home a golden doodle puppy. Where's Chloe? Is she downstairs? Oh, she's missing it. Chloe loves our dog. We named this dog Pax, and I just have to say, I always had dogs growing up, and so I always thought I was a dog person. But I'm not sure anymore, because when you're the grown-up, it's different. You're the one getting up in the middle of the night. Actually, that's mostly Meg, but you're the one cleaning up the messes. You're the one paying for the vet bills. You're the one, you know, chasing him when he gets loose. And it's not quite as fun to be an adult dog owner. But what galls me the most about this dog, whom I love, is that he eats our food. You know how expensive food is? He eats so much people food, no matter what we do to try to keep him away. His favorite thing is bread products, baked goods. So you know those big 24-pack croissants from Costco? Yes. I think Justin probably makes those, right? They're delicious. Well, Pax thinks they're delicious too. And one day we had just bought one of those things and somehow he got it down, spilled them all on the floor, and ate about half of them before we caught him red-handed. Or on Easter Sunday when Chloe had just taken a cake out of the oven. And Pax jumped up there and started gnawing a hole straight through the top of the cake. Or the fresh bread that Meg had just baked and set out for a dinner party, and we turn our backs and look around and the bread's gone. It's like, not only is it gross and wasteful and annoying, but it's like, this is not right. You are a dog, you eat dog food. We are people, we eat people food. Let's get that straight. So keep that story in your minds as we unravel this passage today, because it will make sense. We see two different outsiders to Israel in this passage that Marilyn read. approaching Jesus with a desperate need. And what's key to understand in both of these stories is that these are Gentiles, which means they're not Jews, they're not from Israel, they're outsiders coming to Jesus with a desperate need. The first person is this Gentile woman, this Syrophoenician woman. And Jesus rebuffs her initially, saying it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. What's going on there? And then in the second case, we see this man who is deaf and mute be brought to Jesus with desperate need. And Jesus does some very peculiar things with him and heals him. Both of these stories are somewhat puzzling, but I promise you that by the time we get through them, you'll understand exactly why Mark included them here. And you may be surprised at how relevant they are for you. So let's look at how Jesus interacts with each of these desperate Gentiles. And then we'll bring it together for us today. First, this Syrophoenician woman. Jesus' conflict with the Pharisees is heating up. He's getting more criticism, more attacks, and so he retreats for a while into Gentile territory, away from the intense scrutiny. He goes north to the coastal city of Tyre, which was a wealthy city, trading city, far from Jewish villages and culture, historically one of Israel's greatest enemies. And as soon as he gets there, you know, even there, his fame precedes him. He can't get away. And a woman barges into the house where he's staying, and in case we didn't remember that he was in Gentile territory, Mark reminds us, the woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She barges in, and Mark says she fell at his feet, begging him to heal her demon-possessed daughter. Maybe she's heard rumors or stories of Jesus exorcising demons from other people, and so she has hope. Now, I don't think there's anyone more desperate or more determined than a parent whose kid is in trouble, right? If you're a parent, you get it. You would do anything to help your child. And so this woman comes with all of that parental concern and desperation, and the text makes it clear that she doesn't ask politely. She's begging again and again, Jesus, help my daughter. Jesus, please help me. So, Jesus looks at her with compassion and says, okay, your request is granted, right? No. His initial response to the woman is really startling. Look in verse 27. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. What's going on here? Did Jesus actually call this woman a dog? It's even probably more offensive than we realize, because Jews called Gentiles dogs because they were, it was a put down. Gentiles did not follow the Jewish kosher laws, and so they were considered unclean. And dogs in this day were not the cute pets that people take to the groomers and drop off at doggy daycare. They were scavengers. They carried disease. They were not things you wanted to have around your house. And Jews often called Gentiles dogs. So why is Jesus doing this? I thought he was nice. I thought he was a compassionate, kind person, right? Well, I think what Jesus is doing here is using a riddle, a mini parable, to engage this woman. And on one hand, he is, on one level, he's reminding her of her place in salvation history, in the plan of salvation. We have to understand this. Gentiles were not God's people. They were not children of God like Israel was. They did not have a covenant with God. They did not have God's laws or God's presence or God's promises. They were truly outsiders to the people of God. We have to understand that, right? All these people around Israel, the Egyptians, the Canaanites, the Syrians, the Hittites, the Phoenicians, they were outside the covenant. And Paul makes it clear, and Jesus makes it clear, there's an order to salvation. First the Jew, then the Gentile. Jesus says, I came for the lost sheep of Israel. Yeah, that's in another passage. He was sent to the Jews first. So Jesus says, first, let the children eat all they want. Right? I need to serve Israel first. For it's not right to take their bread and toss it to the dogs. But in this little mini parable, Jesus is actually tossing out an invitation for her to respond. And respond she does with great faith and great humility. What does she say? In verse 28, Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed, the demon gone. This woman shows true humility. She gets it. She accepts that she's an outsider. She understands that she has no rightful claim on this Jewish healer or the God of Israel. She's saying, yes, Jesus, I accept that I am a dog asking for people food. But even dogs deserve to eat. Right? She's not disputing. She's saying, how dare you call me a dog? How dare you insinuate that I don't deserve God's help? Right? She accepts it. Yes, I know I don't deserve it. But even the dogs deserve to eat. And Jesus, only a crumb of your power will be enough to heal my daughter. She has great faith. Jesus, I don't need it all. I don't need a lot. I just need a crumb. And I know that will be enough. And Jesus is impressed. In Matthew's account of this passage, he says, woman, you have great faith. And all the things he'd been trying to teach his Jewish disciples about humility, about approaching God without pride, about hearing God's word, she gets it, even as they don't. She becomes this model of faith. Well, the next person who comes to Jesus with a desperate need is quite different. Let's look now at verse 31, where we're told that Jesus leaves that area and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. This is a really strange route. It's like going to Williston via Richford. You know, he goes way north and then back down to the Decapolis. Why does Mark include these details? Because he's reminding us these are all Gentile areas. He's still, he's not talking to Jews here. Gentiles, outsiders. And again, here comes someone to Jesus with a desperate need. Verse 32. There, in the Decapolis, some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. And they begged Jesus to place his hand on them. I know that some of you have hearing impairments. So you know how hard life can be when you can't hear things clearly. You feel left out in certain situations. You feel kind of isolated. You miss parts of conversation. right? Well, this man was totally deaf, probably from birth because he never learned to talk right. And imagine being deaf in a world with no standard sign language, no closed captioning, no speech therapists, no implants, no hearing aids. This guy was suffering and isolated. Imagine how he got picked on and mistreated growing up. Can you imagine how starved for human connection he felt? He's desperate. His friends are desperate. So they beg Jesus. Now, Jesus responds to this man totally differently. Look at verse 33. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh, or really a groan, said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. What's going on here? Jesus treats this man so gently and compassionately, giving him exactly what he needs. He takes him away from the crowd. Why does he do that? Because he doesn't want to make this guy a spectacle. He wants to deal with this person individually. And then he touches his ears and touches his tongue, even gets some spit on his fingers and touches the man's tongue. Why does he do all this stuff? Does he need to do that to heal him? No. He's doing it for the man, to show him in sign language what he's about to do. Here, I'm going to make these ears better. I'm going to help you speak. And then he groans, he sighs deeply, identifying with this man's pain. And he says, "Ephphatha, be open," the word of healing. And it sounds like it made an impression on the witnesses because they remember the exact word that Jesus spoke to heal him. There's more going on here, though, than just another healing. Because again and again in Mark, Jesus talks about spiritual hearing. He says things like, "Those who have ears to hear, let them hear." Or, "Be careful how you listen." Or, "Consider carefully what you hear." Or, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand." Jesus wants people's spiritual ears to be opened to understand the kingdom of God, to understand who Jesus is. For Jesus, truly hearing means understanding the things of God, true hearing. So far, the disciples aren't there. They don't understand. They're like this deaf man. And until they have a touch from Jesus, their ears will not be opened. So as we step back and look at these two little vignettes, these two stories, why are they here? Why does Mark bother to tell us about this Syrophoenician woman and this deaf man? We always have to ask that. What's the point? What are we meant to do and learn from this? Well, here's why Mark included these stories. Because we are those people. We are the outsiders. We are the Gentile woman who has no claim on God's grace. We are the deaf man who needs our spiritual hearing to be restored to understand the things of God. These are self-portraits of us. I hope you can see that. And only when we see ourselves in these two characters can we truly approach God the way that we need to. You know, I hear older people talk a lot about kids these days. They're so entitled. They think they can just go to college and graduate and get this cushy job making $200,000 a year. They don't want to work anymore. They think they deserve a happy life. And, you know, maybe there's some truth to that. But guess what? Spiritual entitlement is across all generations. It's so easy for us to approach God feeling like, yeah, it's your job to forgive me, God. You owe me. I deserve your help. But guess what? We are not entitled to a crumb of God's help. We don't deserve anything. Do we get that? We're not like, we're so special that God chose to come and help us out because we're just, you know, we just deserved it so much. We don't deserve anything from God. Paul makes this really clear in Ephesians, speaking to Gentiles. He says, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. And in case you're wondering, he also tells Jews, listen, you've all broken the covenant, you're in the same position. We are entitled to nothing. And like the deaf man, we are all naturally born with a profound spiritual hearing impairment. We don't understand the things of God naturally. We need God to open our ears. We're in desperate need for the touch of Jesus. And friends, if we don't understand these things, then the gospel makes no sense. How can we sing Amazing Grace if we don't think it's that amazing? If we think we deserve it? That's the whole point. It's amazing. I don't deserve it. Thank you, Lord. I stand in awe of you. And this is why the gospel is good news. Because Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He came to bring the outsiders in. He came for recovery of sight for the blind, to make the deaf hear and the mute sing for joy. That's why Jesus is so amazing. That's why they said in verse 37, people were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is why Jesus is so amazing. Mark uses a very specific word for deaf to describe this man's condition. It's only used one other place in Scripture, and that is in Isaiah 35, a prophecy of the coming day when God will bring salvation to all nations. We read it this morning. He says, Isaiah says, then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf, same word, unstopped. Then will the lame leap like deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. And Mark is saying, then is now. Jesus is here. He has come to open our ears, to recover our to let us sing for joy, to bring those far away near. And that's why we have hope. Not because we're worthy, but because Jesus is so amazing. And when you come to Jesus like that Gentile woman, and like that deaf man, with only your desperation, only your faith, you receive his help and his mercy. Some of you know Meg's story. She was raised in church, and she began from a young age to believe these things she was taught and to try to follow God. And yet, she would tell you that she only understood half of the gospel. She was a good kid who excelled in almost everything she did and was always receiving praise from the people around her. She wasn't like her bad older brothers who would do things like play video games for more than they were supposed to when mom was gone, right? She was a good kid. And so she built her sense of self around being this good, deserving person. And therefore, when she heard sermons about Jesus dying on the cross or about God's radical grace, she thought, huh, that's interesting. I guess some people need that, right? Well, in college, reality set in. And God, in his mercy, began to show her desperation for God's grace and her need for him. And she realized that she was a sinner, more desperate than she ever could have imagined. And that's when the good news made sense to her. And that is when, she might say, her real life in Christ began. When she saw that grace was amazing. So how about you? When can you say, Lord Jesus, I am desperate for your grace? Can you come to Jesus like that Gentile woman and say, yes, Lord, I know I'm an outsider. I know I'm undeserving. But even a crumb of your saving power will be enough for me. I want to give you all a moment of quiet to just pray on your own. And then I'm going to close us in prayer in a minute. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Lord, I pray that each one of us would be able to say those words in earnest, that we would understand our lostness, our spiritual deafness, our helplessness outside of Jesus, but that we would also understand his great saving power and his compassion to us. Let both of those things be true, and let us view ourselves not with entitlement or pride, but with gratitude for what you've done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.